Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We started into a study of the book of 1 Corinthians on the Beacon Broadcast yesterday. And we are going to continue that study today, and indeed, if God wills, for a good many days and weeks and months into the future, because it is a long epistle, but it is a very significant and substantive one, and very relevant for us today. But we started with the opening, the introduction, the salutation, which is an included part of every one of Paul's epistles. That was a stylistic format that letter writing followed. I remember when I was in school, I was taught how to construct a letter. I don't know if people do that anymore, if they study that anymore. We don't tend to write letters very seldom, unless we're involved in business or something. We tend to communicate by tweets and texts, and the closest we get to letter writing for many people is emails. And beyond that, many people don't even write letters anymore, which is a shame. But we can't make time stand still, and life changes and technology changes. But when I was in school, letter writing was a very important part of life. Everybody wrote letters. We didn't have these faster forms of communication that are so prevalent today. And it was important that a person know how to write a letter, and what part of knowing how to write a letter was knowing what was the proper format. Where did you put the date? Where did you put the inside address? Where did you put this and the other thing? How did the body of the letter go? How do you close a letter? And so forth. The format was an important part, and there is a rather standardized format which is generally followed in American culture. And in Paul's day, there was a standardized format that was followed in Roman culture, which was largely an outgrowth of Greek culture. And he followed that format. And we see that format being followed in this epistle as in his other epistles. So the first three verses are the salutation, and it follows the standard format of his day. And I will pause at that point and welcome you aboard our Bible study on this Wednesday, March 17, and thank those who respond to the need financially to help pay the bills to keep this broadcast on this station. All right, back to the format. The format would begin, first of all, by identifying the author. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. Two, the church of God. That brings us to verse 2. And the second part of the salutation would be to identify the recipients. So in a letter of that day, that was the format. The first thing you write is the name of the author. The second thing you write is the name of the recipient. Paul, the apostle, an apostle, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, that's the author, to the church of Christ, the church of God, rather, which is at Corinth. That's the recipient. Now, you can see how that differs from the standard letter format of our day. we don't identify the author until the end. That's just our style. That's the way we do it. That's standard format. But when you've written your letter, then you say something like cordially yours or warm regards or sincerely and sign your name. And it's not till you get to the end of the letter that you identify the author, which means that most of us, if we open a letter and we're not sure who it came from, where do we go first? We go to the end. We don't start at the beginning. We go to the end first and see who this is from. The letter doesn't really make, I started to say it doesn't make a lot of sense, and in some cases that's true, but it certainly doesn't make full sense. It doesn't make, what it says doesn't lodge itself in our thinking completely, and in some cases hardly at all if we don't know who wrote it. If we don't know the author, then what is said in a lot of cases just doesn't make a lot of sense. And I, as an aside, and this is an aside, but as an aside, I will tell you now, when I occasionally, not very often, but over the years, occasionally receive an unsigned letter, in other words, an anonymous letter, I generally don't even read it. Now, sometimes curiosity gets the better of me and I'll read it, but I don't pay it any attention. Usually, if it's an unsigned letter, it's a critical letter. Not always. Not always. I've had some unsigned letters that were very encouraging and commendatory, but for some reason, the person didn't sign their name. I can remember one not, well, it goes back several months ago now, but I received unsigned, but the person said, I'm not signing this because, and I don't remember the exact reason. It was something like, I used to be a member of your church. I guess they didn't want me to know who they were. And I'm no longer a member of your church, but I'm still in the community. I listen to the radio broadcast. I keep up with the church. I know a lot of the people in the church. And I just want you to know what a blessing you've been to me over the years. Well, how nice. That's an anonymous letter that you don't mind reading, but it still loses some of its value when you don't know who the author is. And like I say, critical letters that are unsigned go right in the circular file. You know which one that is, don't you? They don't go in the file cabinet, and they don't stay on my desk. I don't let them sit around and think about them and hash them and rehash them and lose sleep over who this person is that wrote this critical letter. It frankly doesn't make any difference to me. If they're not willing to identify themselves, then their criticism, as far as I'm concerned, is not valid. They have something wrong in their spirit. They have something wrong in their thinking, that they feel like it's appropriate to write a critical letter and tell me what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that, and they won't even identify themselves. So that's an aside. But the point being that the identity of the author is very important, and I think it makes more sense to put that first like they did in the first century Roman world. Who wrote this letter? Paul. First word in the epistle. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Now, Paul, of course, we know who he is. He's identified as the author of the letter. But he also includes a second name, Paul and Sosthenes, our brother. And the way he's introduced here, it almost sounds like he's a co-author. I, Paul, and Sosthenes am writing this letter to you. But if you study Paul's epistles, you'll find that he often includes another name in the opening where the author is identified. More often it's Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, or Titus, I think on one or two occasions, perhaps. or somebody else. Paul and Silas, I think, is mentioned in one of them. But Sosthenes is not only found only here, as far as in the salutation of an epistle, but is not clearly identified in the scriptures at all. We don't know who this guy is. Timothy, we know, when Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, too, and writes to one of the churches, we know who Timothy is. He's well identified. We have no difficulty with that. But who is Sosthenes, who writes with Paul? And that's the best way I can say it. I don't know that we could actually identify him as a co-author, but he is with Paul when Paul writes, and he writes with Paul. And Paul identifies him as Paul is writing this epistle to the church at Corinth, and he's writing from the city of Ephesus in Asia Minor. And Sosthenes is clearly a significant ministry partner, but is only included here. Unlike, say, Timothy, who is a more significant ministry partner and is mentioned many, 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 many times. But Sosthenes, no. But we would take it that though he's not well known to us, in fact, we can't even identify him. There is a Sosthenes mentioned in Acts 18:17, but that doesn't mean that it's this Sosthenes. It could be. It may be. It may not be. There's really no way to tell. Because, of course, a lot of names were common to many people. But whether we know who he is or not, and we don't, it's clear that the church at Corinth did. He was somebody that had been there, no doubt, somebody who had traveled with Paul, somebody who was identified with Paul, and they knew who he was. And so all Paul needs to do is just write his name. He doesn't need to say anything about him, because they knew who he was. If he was unknown to them, Paul would no doubt have included something. Sosthenes, our brother, who, and would tell a little bit about him for their benefit. Otherwise, there'd be no reason to include his name if they didn't know who he was and he didn't tell them anything about him. But they clearly did, but we don't. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. Some think that he was Paul's, and I'm going to use a big word now, Paul's amanuensis. We would say secretary. And I guess they're virtually the same. But in that day, they were called amanuensis. And Paul, as far as we can tell, always dictated his epistles to an amanuensis who actually wrote down the words. And so, since Paul had such a person for every epistle, probably what he means when he includes Sosthenes is not that Sosthenes actually helped compose the words, the contents, but he was a partner in authorship in the sense that Paul dictated and Sosthenes wrote the words down. So, in a real sense, he was an author. He was part of the authorship team, but he didn't have anything to do with the contents of the epistle. He just simply was the one who took the dictation. Probably that's what Paul has in mind here. But frankly, we don't know. But it does cause us to reflect on the fact that Paul had a lot of ministry partners. Some of them we know pretty well. Some of them we hardly know at all, like Sosthenes. But he did have help. He did have willing partners. He did have people who wanted to get involved in the work of the Lord and to help him in his tasks. And that was a wonderful opportunity for people to serve God. And I hope you are serving God in some significant way. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.